Right, Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to read this verse to us. I want us to read it together twice. Verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, I don't know what comes into your mind when you read that verse, but what comes into my mind is a throne. And I see a throne. I visualize a throne. And it says there, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can meet here tonight. We're thankful that we can pray. Lord, we're thankful that we can come before the throne of grace. We ask, Lord, that You would hear and answer prayer tonight according to Thy will. And Lord, as we come to You, help us, Lord, to never tire of bringing our petitions to Thee. And Lord, I know that You never tire of granting mercy and grace and help, and we're thankful for that. Now, Lord, I pray that You just bless this portion of Scripture to our heart tonight, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God invites man to come. Every time you read something in the Bible about man wanting to come to God, God says, come on. I mean, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." If you need some rest, if you're weary, wore out, you can come to the Lord. If you're laboring and heavy laden, you can come to the Lord. When Peter was out on a storm-tossed sea, and Jesus was out there walking in the water, Peter said, "If thou be the Lord, bid me come to thee." And the Lord said, "Come." And Peter got out of the ship and started for him. The Lord never turns a person away. He says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." And the Lord always tells man to come. He never tells man not to come. And so God invites us to come to Him. But in this passage of Scripture, God invites man to come to Him in prayer. God wants us to pray. He wants us to be people of prayer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it's an invitation to come to Him in prayer. It says, pray without ceasing. That's an invitation. Pray without ceasing. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Another invitation to come and pray. Galatians 6, 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and waiting thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Praying always with all prayer. That's an invitation to pray. He says in Colossians chapter 4 in verse 2, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Over and over again, when you read about prayer, it's you're being invited to pray. Do some praying. Come and pray. And the thing that we usually do everything else before we pray. Prayer is usually the last thing on the list, and it ought to be the very first thing on the list. And God here bids us to come to Him as a king would call his subjects before his throne. The Lord is calling us before his throne of grace. We are to come unto the throne of grace. Now, in the Old Testament, when a person went into the Holy of Holies, what did they see? Well, there was only one person that went into the Holy of Holies, and that was the high priest. And he went in there, and he better have a sacrifice or he was going to get struck down. And he went in there, and he went into the presence of God. And when he went into that Holy of Holies, he saw the mercy seat. That's what he saw, the mercy seat. And now the Lord says that we come into the Holy of Holies, we come in before a throne of grace. And so he bids us to come. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Hebrews 10 and verse 19, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Just like there was a Holy of Holies in the earthly tabernacle on this earth, in the heavenly tabernacle, there's a Holy of Holies, and we are invited to come into that Holy of Holies. We don't have to have a sacrifice because the sacrifice has already been made. It says in verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil." And on the other side of the veil was that mercy seat. Through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. So when you are invited to come before the throne of grace, it's like the Lord is sitting there in the Holy of Holies, but He's sitting upon a throne, and it's the throne of grace. And I'm thankful that we can come without a sacrifice because Jesus is our sacrifice. It's a new and living way. And we are to come as a subject would come to a king. We should come with reverence. We should come with confidence. We should come with submission. But we are also to come boldly. We are to come to one who, as a king, has the power to give whatever is asked for. In other words, He has grace that He can give to us in any situation. He has mercy, and we need that every day. He has power, and He has all power, and He can give power to us for any situation that we encounter on this earth. So my verse says tonight, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Now, it says, "Let us come boldly." Boldly is liberty to come without restraint. And that kind of boldness, there's no restraints put on us to come before that throne of grace. But we're not to come proudly, because God resists the proud but giveth grace to the humble. We're not to come presumptuously. We're not to come demanding, but we are to come boldly, because it is a throne of grace. And we may come with all sorts of petitions. Because it's a throne of grace, we can petition the one who sits on that throne of grace. We can petition God. We can bring our requests and our petitions before Him. And that's what the purpose of a Wednesday night prayer service is, to come before God and petition Him and ask Him for things that are needed, not just things that we need ourselves, but things that others are in great need of. And we ought to petition Him for the salvation of lost souls. We ought to petition Him for those that have drifted away and are no longer concerned about the things of God. We should petition Him for those that are sick and afflicted and need help physically. We should petition the Lord for many things and stand as intercessors petitioning the Lord for these things. We may also come freely with simple words. In other words, we don't have to have flowery speech. We do not have to have a great command of the language to come to God. Sometimes you hear people pray, and the only time they talk that way is when they pray. I mean, you know, I've heard some of these old timers down in the South come to God, "Almighty God, thou omnipotent Lord and gracious God of all heaven and earth." And you just come with simple words. Come to God with simple words and talk to Him like you would a friend. They said of Martin Luther, when he prayed, he would pray to God with reverence, like He was the holy God of the universe, but he would talk to Him as he would talk to his friend. And that's the secret of prayer, coming to God with that heart reverence, but also just being able to speak to Him like you'd speak to a friend. And then we can come hopefully to the Lord, full of confidence that we're going to be heard. He bids us to come. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace," and we should come with confidence before the Lord. We did a study on faith, and we spent about 6 weeks studying faith. Our faith is no good if we can't bring a faithful heart before the Lord and speak to Him and talk to Him about the things that we have need of. And we ought to come to Him believing that He hears and that He will answer prayer. Now, we have to understand a few things about Him answering our prayer. Number one, He doesn't always answer it the way we want it answered. Number two, He doesn't always answer it at the time we want it answered. Number three, sometimes we don't see the answer right away, and that's because God is telling us to wait. But He always answers prayer. He might answer it in a positive way. He might answer it in a negative way. But He always answers prayer because He hears and He bids us come to that throne of grace. Why would He ask us to come if He wasn't going to hear? Why would He ask us to come if He wasn't going to be moved on our behalf? So the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. And not only do we come, hopefully, with full confidence of being heard, but we come fervently, pleading, sometimes pleading with God to do some great and mighty things. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, God told Jeremiah, he was shut up in the court of the prison the second time, and he said to Jeremiah, call on me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And sometimes we don't see great and mighty things because we don't ask for great and mighty things. And we ought to ask. There's nothing God cannot do. He is a great and mighty God. So we should come boldly. And when we come boldly, what can we expect? Well, number one, we can expect mercy. It says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And we need mercy because we're sinners. Great sinners need great mercy. And the Apostle Paul, he said he was the greatest of sinners. And sometimes, you know, I look at my life and I think, I think you're wrong, Paul. I think I qualify for that slot too. But you know something? We all do. We all think that. I've never read that verse without thinking, you know, I'm the chiefest of sinners too. And I think every child of God, when he tries to get close to God, feels that way. But because of that we're sinners, He has mercy available for us. So great sinners need great mercy. And we can come and because of our sin, come before Him and confess those sins, knowing that when we confess them, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come to that throne of grace and realize that there's mercy. We may come with not only mercy, but we can expect grace to get us through every trial and temptation that we face. And in the course of a day, in the course of a week, there will be some temptation you face, whether it's a temptation that comes from the devil or a temptation that comes from doing what's right. You'll be tempted in some way. There will be some temptation come your way. Sometimes it's a temptation to do wrong, and sometimes it's a temptation not to do good. And think about that. So we come to the Lord, and we can expect grace to get us through every trial and temptation. That's why He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Not only can we come and get mercy and grace, but we can come immediately before this throne. There is no procedure that we have to go through. You know, if I was a Catholic, I'd have to go to the priest and get in the box there and confess my sins to him, and then hope that, I would say enough Hail Marys and Our Fathers and stuff like that, and then finally, maybe, I might be able to get the blessing to take the Mass or something like that. You know, with God, there's no procedure. You just come to Him, and it's like a lost man. When he comes immediately to God, God moves immediately on his behalf. There's no person that grows into salvation. When that lost man realizes he's lost and calls on the Lord and his heart, he's believing in his heart, immediately God hears and God responds to that sinner's prayer. I've told you about Cyclone Mac, Baxter McClendon. He's one of my favorite preachers that I've always liked to read these messages and read about. And he got saved under old Bud Robinson, and that was an old-time holiness preacher. Well, what they believed is you had to repent of all your sins before you could get saved. So he had like a three-week revival, and old Baxter McLendon would come down, and the first night he came down, and he put his bottle on the altar and said, he repented of drinking, wasn't going to drink anymore. And the next night, and he's wanting to get saved the whole time. And the next night he came down and he put his cards on the altar, quit gambling, quit playing cards. Then he's fighting dogs. He had bulldogs that he liked to fight, and he brought that down. Then finally, after, nights of just bringing something every night and confessing it and repenting of it, he brought his gun down there and laid that thing on the altar. And when he got through, he didn't have anything more to repent of, and he still didn't feel like he was saved. And he called on the Lord, and he said, "Lord, I've given up everything that I know to give up. Won't you save me? I believe that you can save me. Just, Lord, will you please save me?" And the Lord saved him. That night, the Lord saved him. It wasn't a matter of giving up anything. He just needed to ask the Lord to save his soul. And he got saved, and then as soon as he got saved, he told people, "God's called me to preach." And they said, "Wait a minute, you're taking it too fast." He said, "You can't know that you're called to preach when you haven't even been saved for an hour." He said, "I knew I was called to preach before I got saved." And they said, "No." He said, "Yeah." He said, "God called me when I was a little boy sitting in the back of a church, and that preacher pointed back there and said, 'If some of you little boys would give your heart to Jesus, this world would hear from you.'" And he got saved, and he got to preaching, and man, I'll tell you what, one of the most powerful preachers that you'd ever want to read after. And he had great revivals down here in Portsmouth. But God answers immediately. And God answers immediately because we're his children. And we have great freedom as a child of God to come boldly before Him, ask our petitions of Him, and know that He will grant our requests. And then we can expect help. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." In the time of need, He has help for us. And so we can come to Him and get that help. A fellow said, "When God enacts laws, He's on a throne of legislation. When He administers these laws, He's on a throne of government. When He tries His creatures by these laws, He's on a throne of judgment. When He receives petitions and dispenses favors, He's on His throne of grace." So we need to come boldly before the throne of grace. Okay, Susie.